Hey, it's Brian Thomas here. Always happy to welcome back to the 55 KRC Morning Show, and he's always welcome on the program, Senator Rand Paul. Welcome back, sir. It is a distinct pleasure to have you on today.
Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about something. I'm just kind of curious, and we'll only spend a few moments on it, but Donald Trump can now sort of flaunt the idea that he's had coronavirus. He's got the antibodies. He no longer needs to wear a mask. I know you're in the same position. That does have its benefits, does it not, Senator Paul?
Yeah, I talked to the president after he got better and said, welcome to the club. We're now immune. And all the science says this, even though the idiots on CNN won't admit it. Yes, every scientific study out there argues for immunity. Even the overly cautious Dr. Fauci says that he would bet his life that you have immunity after this. Now, nobody knows how long it'll last, whether it lasts decades or not. But the SARS virus, which was a coronavirus from back in the 2000s, they've measured people with immunity 10 years out.
Oh, wow. And
you'll get an antibody response, but people don't realize that the antibody response in all disease fades over time. Otherwise, your blood would be clogged with antibodies. But what you have is a memory response. And so when you're introduced again, you might get the coronavirus into your system, but then you respond to it. In fact, this may be the explanation why some people don't get very many symptoms, because we've had coronavirus colds in the past.
Yeah.
And there's a theory that about 20% of colds are coronavirus. That's a fact. But the theory is that since you've had a previous coronavirus cold, you get some cross-reactivity. They're not exactly the same, but they have enough similarities that your body says, oh, my goodness, we've seen this before, and you're able to mount a better immune response and keep the level of virus very low, and you don't get very sick. That's one theory why some people don't get very sick and others do.
Well, and it's I've pointed this out. So many people have said the same thing. Early, before this resulted in a national shutdown, you know, January, February timeframe, I know my wife and I got very sick, like bedridden kind of for a day and a half, couldn't get up, had no energy kind of thing. And we reflect back and think, gosh, you know, maybe we had it back then, because it's been widely reported that it was floating around as like November,
yeah,
December.
And, you know, this is the same thing that happened to Congressman Massey. He went and got his antibodies tested and released that he has immunity, he has antibodies. So I'm big on telling people, anybody that asks me, go get tested. Because one of the things that changes, let's say you've been avoiding visiting your mom or your grandmother in a nursing home. If you've had it, you're of no risk to her, and so you can be much more assured that you can go visit. And our elderly people are lonely. I talked to somebody who hadn't seen their parents, and they can only see them through the window. And I said, they can't even go out in the parking lot with you and sit a few feet apart? No, they're held hostage in these nursing homes. And so this is a terrible way. And you
That's
talk
absurd.
To older people that have lived a long life, they're like, you know what? I would rather be able to see my family and risk this infection than I would be to die alone.
Yeah,
so
I can certainly.
It's terrible what we're doing to our elderly.
Well, and the randomness and the arbitrariness, I always refer to them as seemingly sphincter-inspired edicts that come down, like you can't drink after 10. And I always scratch my head and waiting for the, you know, patiently for the day when one of these elected officials explains exactly why serving alcohol after 10 is problematic. But, well, 9:45, not a problem. It's just insane.
You realize, Brian, in certain places you can. You can't drink in a bar after 10. But if there's a casino, you can drink till midnight.
Right.
Because, see, the virus only stays in bars, and it will not go in a casino.
Oh, and you know, and so, churches, boy,
yeah,
you better.
The thing is that you can catch the virus at church, but you can't get it in a liquor store. Don't you understand Governor Beshear's logic?
Exactly.
He's using science. Are you a science denier, Brian? You're denying that the virus would exist in an anti-lockdown rally, but the virus does not exist in a racial sort of protest rally,
right,
you know, for George Floyd. There's no virus in those. There's only a virus if you're attacking Governor Cuomo.
And what of the – now, Dr. Fauci is sort of leaning toward recommending a national mask mandate, and the lawyer in me immediately jumps up and says, you can't do that unless, of course, the national mandate comes with federal dollars attached, in which case we can be bought and paid for.
Here's the truth, Brian, and don't put this on Twitter because they'll probably take it down, but there's only been one randomized control study of masks, and it turns out that cloth masks got more infections than no masks.
Oh.
So the cloth masks don't work. When you do a penetration study, you see how many particles can go through a mask. Particles the size of a virus, 97% of the time, go through a mask. A surgical mask, viral particles go through about 50% of the time, and an N95 mask actually does work. So the moral of the story is your government really is being dishonest with you. They want you to be a lemming. They want you to be a sheep. They want you to cover your face out of so-called respect for the collective, but they're lying to you. The cloth masks don't work. If you really are at risk, and I don't discount the mask, if you are significantly overweight, if you are older and overweight, wear a mask, but wear an N95 because the other masks don't work. And then again, it's advice. I'm not telling you to do it. No one should tell you to do it. In a free country, every individual should freely assess their own risk and decide, you know, what they want to do as a precaution.
Indeed. And that leads us to one more topic we got to go over along these lines, which is the government creates a problem by shutting everything down, thus sending the economy into a downward spiral. So naturally, they have to pass multi-trillion dollar legislation to bring us back out by handing checks over. Is this going to happen again, Senator Paul?
Not if I have anything to do with it. I tell people every day, Governor Beshear caused the recession. The only way we can get rid of the recession is he has to open the economy. We have no money. There is no rainy day account in Washington. There's no savings account. I can't waltz over to the Fed and open some big, huge safe door and say, aha, I found the money, free money for everyone. There is no money. We borrowed $3 trillion. The irony is the virus came from China. Now we're having to beg China for money. We're having to borrow the money from China and other countries or print it up. But we have an astounding $4 trillion in 1 year. We're threatening the very foundation of the country. And it, to me, never made sense to send money to people who didn't lose their job. You know, we should have probably extended unemployment for those who were unemployed. And that would be something that actually was the Obama position in 2008. That turns out that that's now conservative. The Republicans and the Democrats this time tripled the unemployment insurance and then kept it on, and then nobody would go back to work if they made less than $50,000 a year. So they did exactly the wrong thing. They created the unemployment and then gave a disincentive to go back to work. But the only way we recover is open the economy. It isn't stimulus or more stimulus. It's stimulus versus opening the economy.
Well, you know the old saying, never let a good crisis go to waste. It seems that Nancy Pelosi is stuck on that because she wants to use this as a vehicle to pay down the debt that was incurred by all of these Democrat-controlled cities and states. They are on a road, in a perilous road to bankruptcy. She sees an end to it by paying them off.
If the Democrats take over the Senate and the White House, Katie bar the door. The debt is going to go up. Look, Biden's admitting to wanting $5 trillion more, but AOC wants $10 to $60 trillion more. So their wish list is enormous. Their ability to do math is nil. I call these people the big-hearted, small-brain crowd. Oh, they've got empathy. They care. They care for you. But they can't add. And they don't realize the repercussions of borrowing so much money. As interest drowns the rest of the economy, they not realize that all of the things that government does will be the pressure as interest rates, interest payments rise as a percentage in the budget. It pushes out all the other spending that they want to do. So the debt ultimately will have ramifications. But beware these people who tell you things are going to be free. Nothing in life is free. There is no free lunch. Most people realize that. But that's who you're voting for. If you vote for Biden, you're voting for the free lunch crowd, free college, free health care. Everything's going to be free until you realize there's no country left to pay for it.
Man in a position of power, speaking truth to power. That's what I love about Senator Rand Paul. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the program again, sir. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that things go the right direction in a week.